all. And we're going to look and continue our study on prayer, and God changed my message. And anytime He does that, it's always a fearful thing for me, but God's in control. Amen. I just hate it for Marky because he had triple work to do today, and Ms. Nina. But God changes the message, and when He changes it, you can't help but go with it. Amen. Oh, it's going to be good. And I'm going to tell you one thing. You'll see exactly why God changed the message, because every song that Adam played today pertains at some point, somehow, some fashion, those words of those songs are in the message today, brother. So God knows what He's doing. Amen. God knows what He's doing. 1 Samuel chapter 1, and we're going to look at verses 9 through 28. Continuing our series, When the Church Prays. When the church prays, my friend, things begin to happen. When the church prays, but not only that, but I'm so thankful for godly women that pray. Amen. Do we have any godly women in the house today? Say amen. Amen. I'm so thankful when God is at work. Do we got any godly men in the house today that pray? Amen. Oh, you men got a long ways to go. What about a lady? Oh, man. Amen. We get a competition going on here and get y'all praising the Lord one way or another. God is exciting to be in God's house. Oh, listen to me. We're going to look at 1 Samuel, as I said, chapter 1, verses 9 through 28. And we're going to look at the prayer of an amazing woman, a prayer of Hannah, and see how it relates to a church that prays together. Oh, listen to me. Go to the Lord with me in prayer. Our Father and our God, we welcome you again into this place. God, I'm so amazed, so excited. God, I'm so impressed for your spirit being here today. God, filling this place with your presence and power, the Holy Spirit of God. God, it's already been a good time to be in the house of the Lord. God, it's already been an exciting time to be a part of the worship service, the Lord. And God, I'm so thankful for the anointing on Brother Adam and all the musicians and the praise team, God, and what you're doing with them. God, what an amazing, amazing worship service. God, as we turn our attention to you, God, as we open up your word, God, your word is precious. God, your word is to be anointed. God, your word is anointing. And God, I pray the anointing of the reading of your word today, that God, you would hide us behind the cross of Calvary. Fill us with your presence and the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Turn us loose and set us free, God. Let us preach the message that you've changed and laid upon our heart to deliver. And God, I pray, the Lord, as has already been prayed, you would defeat the devil, bind him up, God, and cast him out of here. He is not welcome here or wanted here. And God, the opposition has to go in the name of Jesus, the Lord. And God, I pray that you open up our hearts, you open up our minds, you open up our eyes, our ears, God, and bless us to receive your word today. And God, I pray that we won't be the same as what we walked in here as, that God, will be refreshed, excited, and renewed. God, that when we leave here, we can say it's been good to be in the house of the Lord as we enter your mission field and we come in contact with others, that we can love them in a way that they see Jesus, that we can tell them about you, and God, that they'll want to come back and be a part of what you're doing in this church. God, we welcome you here. God, I thank you. God, again, I pray the blessings of the reading of your word. May you anoint it. God, we welcome you into this place. We love you. We praise you. We honor you. We pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. 1 Samuel chapter 1 and verses 9 through 28, it says this. So Hannah rose up after that had eaten in Shiloh, and after they had drunk, now Eli the priest sat upon the seat by the post of the temple of the Lord. And she was in the bitterness of soul, and prayed unto the Lord, and wept sore. She vowed a vow, and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look upon the affliction of thy handmaid, and remember me, and not forget thy handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. And it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart, and only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunken. And Eli said unto her, How long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thine wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, No, my Lord, I am a woman of sorrowful spirit. I have not drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but I have poured out my soul before the Lord. You know, wouldn't it be good today that if people looked at you and me and they thought we were drunk, and we could tell them we're high on the spirit. Amen. And it ain't a spirit in the bottle. It's the Spirit of the Lord. Amen. And say, man, he must be drunk. Yeah, he's drunk. He's filled with the Spirit of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Oh, it'd be good if people will realize the exciting of that. So here she was. She says, I'm not drunk. And she said, I'm sorrowful in my spirit. I'm a woman of a sorrowful spirit. In verse 15, I've drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but I poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thine handmaid for daughter of Belial, for out of thy abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. Then Eli answered and said, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. And she said, let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat, and the countenance was no more sad. And they arose up in the morning early and worshipped before the Lord, and returned and came there to the house of Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her. Wherefore it came to pass, when the time was come about after Hannah had conceived, that she bare a son. And they called his name Samuel, saying, because I've asked of him of the Lord. And the man Elkanah and of all his house went, Elkanah of all his house went offer unto the Lord the yearly sacrifice and his vow. But Hannah went not up, for she said unto her husband, I will not go up until the child is weaned, and then I will bring him, that he may appear before the Lord, and there abide forever. And Elkanah, her husband, said unto her, do what seemeth thee good. Tarry until thou have weaned him. Only the Lord established his word. So the woman abode, and gave her son suck until he weaned him. And when she had weaned him, she took up with him, her with three bullocks and one ephah of flour and a bottle of wine, and brought him unto the house of the Lord in Shiloh. And the child was young. And they slew a bullock and brought that child to Eli. And she said, oh, my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am a woman that stood by thee here praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petitions which I asked of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord. And he worshiped the Lord there. Oh, listen to me. It's an exciting time. When I look back, and we've been talking about a time of prayer and praying, it's a blessing to find such a gracious spirit that Hannah had. Hannah was an amazing lady in the midst of a moral ruin that followed the priestly rule of a kind-hearted but weak-willed Eli. This man was concerned about the honor of people more than the honor of God. And I feel that sometimes, my friend, it's the same thing in churches across America, or my friend, especially in politics across America. They're willing to appease the people, but what about a appeasing God? Oh, listen to me, my friend. I'm not worried about anything else. I'm worried about what thus saith the word of God says. I'm worried about what does God's word says. And what does his word mean to us, my friend? The importance is delivering God's word. Oh, listen to me. It's not about honoring people and not about honoring one another. Yes, we should serve one another, but we should honor the Lord as we serve one another. We should honor the Lord as we preach God's word, my friend. And don't apologize for the word of God. Let it do what it's going to do. This man is more concerned about, Eli was more concerned about the honor of people than the honor of God. And it will bring cause to the shame. According to 1 Samuel 2:29, he gives us these verses. He says, wherefore kick you at my sacrifice and mine offering, which I've commanded in my habitation, and honorest thy sons above me? To make yourselves fat with the chiefest of all the offerings of the Israel, my people. Oh, listen to me. He said, what are you going to do? You're going to worship people. You're going to honor them more than you are me. You're going to build sacrifices to them and honor them so that you can get fat, the chiefest among them, more than me. Oh, my friend, listen to me. It's about honoring our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's about him and lifting him up, exalting him, praying unto him. Oh, listen, I thank the Lord for his word. I thank God for all the scripture and everything that we're to apply to our life. But my friend, it's about honoring the Lord. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's what are we doing to honor the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? What are we doing to honor him, my friend? That's what's important. Where does our life line up with him? Where does the word line up with him in our life? Where does our prayer life line up with him? It's about honoring and serving the Lord. And my friend, if we get get that right, then everything else will fall into place. Then we'll honor and serve one another. We'll pray for one another. And the church will begin to go. But my friend, first and foremost, you got to put Jesus first in your life. Amen. You got to put Him first in your life. And everything else will come and fall into place. When I thought about this, and as I said, this is the third message the Lord changed on me in a week. When it dealing with prayer, poor Marky, this is the third time he's had to redo something for me. But thank the Lord. My friend, you got to do what God tells you to do. Oh, listen, when it comes to prayer and thinking about this, when I think about verse 9, if you take a note, it's a place of prayer, a coming to a place of prayer. When you look at verse 9, my friend, this is what it says. It says, so Hannah rose up after that he had eaten in Shiloh, and after they had drunk. Now Eli, the priest that sat upon the seat by the post of the what? Temple of the Lord. They were at the temple of the Lord. They were at the synagogue of the Lord. They were at the building place of the Lord. It was a place of prayer. My friend, it doesn't matter where it is in your life, but you need to get to a place of prayer in your life, my friends. Whether it's your prayer closet at home, whether it's in the woods somewhere, whether it's on the water, wherever it is, my friend, we've got to get to a place in our lives where it's a place of prayer. And my friend, just as Hannah went to the house of God. My friend, the house of God should be a place of prayer. The house of God, the temple of God, the tabernacle of God, the building of God that God gives us, as Adam says, it's a pretty building. Thank you for the stucco and the lights and all that. But guess what? It's not about this building. It's about the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's coming to a place in your life, in my life, where we come to a place where we realize the importance of prayer, where we realize the importance of praying together. Oh, Hannah. Hannah went to the temple. Hannah went to God's house, a place for prayer. Not only that, my friend, but when I think of a place of prayer and I think about God's house and entering there as Hannah did, as Hannah went to the temple of the Lord, and I think about that. What do we come to the house of God for? What is it there that is desirous for us to see? What is it there that we have in mind when we come to the house of God, to a place of prayer? The house of prayer. When I think about that, I think not only is it a place of prayer, my friend, but it's a place of seeking. It's a place of seeking, seeking the Savior. A place of seeking and worshiping Him. A place that we come to seek the Lord for healing. To seek the Lord, whatever it is going on in our life. It's a place of seeking Him. I think of Matthew 6:33. It says what? But seek you first what? The kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. It's a place of seeking. What do you come seeking for today? What do you come seeking, my friend? We all are seeking something in life. Oh, when we come to the place of prayer, when we come to the tabernacle, when we come to the house of God, it's a place of seeking, my friend. What are we seeking? Seeking refuge, seeking healing, seeking salvation, seeking restoration. It's a place of seeking. What are we seeking when we come to the house of God, the place of worship? It's a place of seeking. Not only is it a place of seeking, but as you've seen this morning, it's a place of singing. A place of singing. As he said in Psalms 100, he says what? Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. He goes on to say, and serve the Lord. Not only is it a place of seeking, not only is it a place of prayer, not only, my friend, it's a place of singing, but it's a place where we serve. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with what? Singing. He goes on to say, know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is that He hath made us, not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Come with singing. Enter into His gates, what did He say? With thanksgiving, and into His courts with what? Praise, and be thankful unto Him, and bless His name. My friend, it's a place of prayer. It's a house of prayer. It's a place where we come seeking. It's a place where we come praising. It's a place where we come serving. It's a place where we come singing. It's a place where we give thanksgiving and honor to the Lord, to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Oh, listen, not only that, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endures to all generations. Oh, listen, the place of prayer, it's a place, my friend, that Hannah went to the temple of the Lord, seeking Him, seeking out to the Lord, seeking what God wanted to do, singing praises to Him. Not only that, as I said, my friend, as we read in that Psalms, that the house of the Lord should be a place of serving, a place of serving Him. It tells me in Colossians 3, my friend, in verses 12, it says, put on therefore as the elect of God. Who's the elect of God? We are the children of God. He says, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy, beloved, bowels of what? Mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. These things, my friend, are a part of serving the Lord. When we seek out to serve those, my friend, these are the characteristics, the godly characteristics that are to be exemplified in your life and my life as we serve the Lord, as we come into a place in a house of worship, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against even as Christ forgave you, also do ye. He goes on, he continues to say, and above all things, put on love, put on charity. Charity is love, which is the bond of perfectness. Put that on, serving the Lord, seeking the Lord as brothers and sisters in Christ. Characteristics of Christian virtues. Put on the peace and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, that which you also called in one body, and be you thankful. We're one body, the body of Christ, the family of God. My friend, listen, we need to be thankful for what God has done. He says, let the word, what's the word? It's God's word. Let the word of God do what? The word of Christ do what? Dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching, admonishing one another in psalms. Praise the Lord, that's what we did today. In hymns, praise the Lord, we had them too. And what? Spiritual songs. Everything we done was to praise Him. Everything we done was singing songs about Him, singing praises to Him, worshiping Him. And my friend, in teaching those things in spiritual songs, singing and grace in your hearts to the Lord, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord, singing to Him. It's not about me. It's not about you. Everything we say, everything we do is to bring Him honor and glory. To bring Him honor and glory. Singing about praises to Him, worshiping Him, uplifting Him. And whatsoever you do, my friend, as I said, it's not about me. It's not about you. But it's what we do for the Lord that counts. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, what does it say? Do it all in what? The name of Jesus, the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him, giving thanks to Him, everything we do. Oh, he goes on in Colossians 3 and verse 22 and following, he goes on to say, servants, as I said, when we come into a place of worship, in a place of house of prayer, as Hannah went to the house of prayer, she went seeking the Lord, she went singing praises to Him, she went serving the Lord. He says this, servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service, my friend, not as men pleasers, but singleness of heart, fearing what? Fearing God. Everything we do, my friend, ought to be about the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He goes on to say in verse 23, and whatsoever you do, do heartily as to the Lord. And not unto the man. My friend, do it for the Lord. What you do for Him is what's going to last. What you do for Him is what's going to count. He said in verse 24, knowing that all of the Lord, ye shall receive the reward of inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. Serving Him. Oh, listen to me, Hannah. Hannah came to a place that she was serving the Lord. Hannah came to a place where she knew she could find Jesus. She went to the house of God. And my friend, I pray today, I don't know what you come in here, but my friend, you come in seeking. And my friend, whatever it is you're seeking, I pray in the name of Jesus that you find it in your life. Seeking, singing, serving, praising Him. And everything we do, it's about the Lord and and Savior Jesus Christ. It's not about holding a title or a title over a head. I can care less about that because I'm not worried about a title. I'm worried about serving the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I'm worried about serving Him in spirit and in truth and working for the Lord. Oh, listen, in everything I do, He said in verse 24, you serve the Lord Christ, for you serve Him. My friend, what does our life line up with? Who are we serving? What are we seeking? Who are we praying to? What are we searching out? Oh, listen, I pray that everything we serve, seek, and sought after, and everything we do pertains to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's about Him, my friend, and that's where Hannah went. Hannah went to the house of the Lord. Hannah went to the tabernacle. Hannah went to the temple in verse 9 because she was seeking out those things we just pointed out in Scripture. Not only that, not only was it a place of prayer, but my friend, we see the pain of prayer. When you look back at verse 10, we see the pain of prayer that she had. It said in verse 10, and she was in what? Bitterness of soul, and prayed unto the Lord, and wept sore. She was in bitterness of soul. She prayed unto the Lord. Her sorrow came, my friend, because she was out without a child. Not only that, but Penina was sitting there, and not Nina, Penina. She's looking at me like, no, me. Yes, Penina was there, and she was provoking Hannah. She was making fun of Hannah because God had shut up her womb, my friend, and it grieved her soul. It grieved her spirit. Oh, listen, because she was childless. And look back in verse 5. And go back there, and it'll tell you. In verse 5 it says, but unto Hannah he gave worthy person, for he loved Hannah, but the Lord had shut up her womb. Oh, listen to me. She was grieved in the spirits. The Jews believed that children were a heritage from the Lord. And praise God, and thank you, Lord. Children are. In Psalm 127:3, it says, lo, children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is the reward of. You know, and I thought about that. I didn't even know my friend, but little man up here was going to get up and he was going to give a quote of verse scripture. My favorite one, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Hayden was going to get up, quote that verse of scripture to start off the service with you and me. And listen, had no clue that we're going to talk about children are a heritage from the Lord. Children are a blessing from the Lord. And thank God for godly parents that are bringing their children up in the house of the Lord. Oh, listen, my friend, they're special. They're an heritage for the Lord. Oh, listen, we need to send that message around the world that children are a blessing from the Lord. Children are a blessing of God. Oh, we see the pain in her that she bears. It says, lo, children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is the reward. It vexed her soul because the heritage wasn't there for her. She was grieved in her spirit, and she felt shame for the fruitfulness in her life. She felt shame of that. She felt disrespected and shame come upon her in the fullness of God, and her soul was vexed in her. He tells us in 2 Peter 2, and 2 and 8, he said, for the righteous man dwell among them, and seeing and hearing vexed his righteousness soul from day to day with their unlawful deed. Oh, listen, she was troubled in her soul, my friend, and it was hurting her. Oh, listen, not only that, as I said in verse 6, when you go back, you see Penina was mocking her. In verse 6, it says, and her adversary was Penina. Her adversary also provoked her sore, and for to make her fret because the Lord had shut up her womb. Oh, listen to me. You see that the attacks begin to come. Listen to me. I'm telling you right now. We've been talking about prayer for a couple weeks now and praying the way God wants. And as a church that prays, my friend, things begin to happen. But I can't stress to you enough the importance of prayer in your life privately. The importance of prayer that you have as husband and wife, as the family of God. The importance of prayer that we have as a church, my friend. Listen to me. We are under attack I'm telling you, my friend, and it's coming. Listen, I look up any day as Adam was singing that song. Oh, listen, I'm looking up. I'm looking for Jesus any day. My friend, he can't continue to wink at what America is doing and the people across the world. Oh, listen to me. There's coming a day, as Adam said, that trumpet is going to sound. There's going to be a shout in 1 Thessalonians 4 and the voice of an archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first, and then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together in the clouds to be with the Lord in the air forevermore. He says, wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Oh, listen to me, my friend. We better get busy about prayer. You better be prayed up, my friend, if you want to be able to endure the attacks. You want to be able to endure what the world brings against you. You want to be able to endure these things in your life. My friend, you have to be prayed up and ready, because the attacks will come. Oh, listen. She was mocked. Peniel, her adversary, provoked her. Her childless condition brought the snare of the wicked out. Oh, listen, it always gets painful. And when the wicked set a snare on God's people, my friend, trying to destroy their life, destroy their testimony in the church. Oh, listen to me. It's a painful time, but you can make it through it in the name of Jesus. You can make it through it in the name of the Lord. You can make it through it, my friend, when you put Him first in your life and you pray about those things. Oh, she was sensitive to what was going on in her life. When you look back at verse 7 in chapter 1 of Samuel, says, and as he did so year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, she was provoked her. Therefore she wept and she did not eat. Oh, listen to me. She was sensitive to the attacks on her life to the point where she wept and did not eat. My friend, you ever been there? Ever been there to the point where you're attacked so much? My friend, that all you can do is cry and not eat. But my friend, in that time was when the Holy Spirit sends that comforter into your life and lets you know it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. Oh, she felt those things. She felt that pain in her life. There was great hope, my friend, for a person that can weep, my friend, in life. I thought about that. I thought about her fruitlessness. I thought about her inability to be able to have a child, my friend. But I thought about the Christian people today. My friend, do we weep bitterly in our soul for the lack of fruitfulness that we produce in our lives? Amen, oh me. Amen, oh me. Does it affect us to that point to where we weep for others, that we want to see them come to a saving knowledge of Jesus, my friend, and weep bitterly as Hannah did for her fruitlessness with her child birthing? But my friend, what about birthing children into the kingdom of God? How do we doing there? How do we doing there? How are we leading people to the Lord? Oh, listen to me. Oh, does it really matter or concern us? It ought to, my friend. Oh, listen to me. In verse 10, we see where she felt that bitterness. And said, and she was in bitterness of the soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. Oh, my friend, wouldn't it be good if every child of God and every church of God across America, my friend, would begin to weep for the souls of men? What do you think would happen? Begin to be serious about soul winning and worshiping the Lord and serving God and praying to Him. What would begin to happen? Oh, we see the promise of her prayer in verse 11. It says this. Says, and she promised something, my friends. She says this. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thy handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. When I thought about that, and I thought about she paid a vow. She made a vow in her prayer that, God, if you did this, I would do this the rest of my day. I wonder how many times people's made a vow to the Lord, and God's heard and answered the prayers, and we ain't followed up on the vow we made to Him. Amen, oh me. My friend, it's time we pay up what we promised the Lord. Amen. It's time for churches across America and Christians across America to pay up what they vowed to the Lord. It's a dangerous thing, my friend, to vow to the Lord and not pay. Oh, but we see she made a vow to the Lord, and we see in verse 28 that she paid up. In verse 28, it says, therefore, also have I lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord. And he worshiped the Lord there. Oh, my friend, she made a vow, and she fulfilled her vow that she made. But I think about those promises of prayer. I think about the power that the prayer brought her. I think about the power of the prayer. Not only did it bring her Samuel, but my friend, the power of the prayer that Hannah had brought several things into her life. When you look back at verse 18, the power of prayer brought peace into her life. And she said, let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. Oh, my friend, listen to me. When you do business with Almighty God and you step out and you do prayer for Him, God changes things, my friend, and God will bring about a peace in your life. Just as Hannah couldn't eat, Hannah wept bitterly and cried bitterly. But, my friend, when she turned it over to the Lord changed her life. He changed her countenance, and she was no more sad. My friend, listen. God wants to restore unto you the joy of your salvation. Will you open up your heart and let Him? Will you open up your heart and let Him? God wants to give you peace in your life today. And the peace that He gives you will last for all eternity. Oh, listen to me. What about it? What about it? The power of prayer brought Hannah peace in her life? Not only that, but it brought power into her life in verse 19. It brought power in her life. And they rose up in the morning early. And they worshiped before the Lord and returned. And came to their house, to Ramah, and Elkanah knew Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her. The power of the Holy Spirit of God was able to bring about Samuel in her life. Oh, listen, the power of the Lord. Not only that, but I think the power of prayer also brought praise to the Lord. In verse 20, you go back and you look there with me, it says, wherefore it came to pass, when the time was come, after about Hannah had conceived, that she bare a son, called his name Samuel, saying, because I asked of him of the Lord. Oh, listen to me. She praised God. She praised Him. Samuel means heard of God. Samuel means heard of God. She named Samuel, Samuel, because God heard her prayers. She praised Him through the name of Him being heard of the Lord. Not only that, but we see the power of plan. She had a prayer, a plan in verse 21 and 22. She had a plan. It said, and the man Elkanah, and when he went up in all his house, went up to offer unto the Lord the yearly sacrifice and his vow. What did it say Hannah did? But Hannah went not up, for she said unto her husband, I will not go up until thy child be weaned. And then I will bring him, that he may appear before the Lord, and there abide forever. The power of prayer, my friend, she had a plan. She had a plan, and her plan was giving Samuel back to the Lord. Her plan was, when he was weaned, I give him to the Lord. I lend him to the Lord for the rest of his life. She had a plan. Not only that, but we see the power of prayer that gave a position. Look at verse 24 through 28. You go back there with me. It says this. And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her, three bullocks and one ephah of flour and a bottle of wine, and brought him unto the house of the Lord in Shiloh. And the child was young. And they slew a bullock and brought the child to Eli. And she said, O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am a woman that stood by thee here praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given my petitions which I asked of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord. And he worshipped the Lord there. Samuel became a priest in the house of God. Oh, listen to me. What about it? Prayer is powerful. Prayer is important, my friend. In prayer of Hannah, a powerful woman that made a vow to God. Listen to me, my friend, those same things we need to do today. We need to seek out the Lord. We need to seek Him out. My friend, we need to sing praises unto His holy name. We need to serve the Lord and serve others as we serve Him. Do you have a plan? Do you have a mission? Do you have a purpose? First and foremost, you need to make sure that Jesus is Lord of your life.